Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, April 25th, 2025. We'll start today's reading on the front page. Local Industry, TCCI, Engine of Opportunity. Pritzker cuts ribbon for plant powered by incentives. Now, midway through his second term as the state's chief executive, Governor J.B. Pritzker has been able to see more than a few of his initiatives move from a discussion to legislation to fruition. There's perhaps no greater illustration of this than the state's involvement with TCCI Manufacturing's pivot to electric compressor manufacturing. Pritzker and his staff met with the Decatur-based company in 2021 when they were eyeing Tennessee for a new facility to make the product. Incorporating their feedback, state lawmakers passed and Pritzker signed the Reimagining Energy and Vehicles in Illinois, REV Act, an incentive program meant to attract and retain companies in the electric vehicle industry. The company was subsequently awarded the first REV credits of up to $2.1 million for its $20 million investment in retooling of its 1940s-era Decatur facility. The state pitched in another $21 million to make the facility a larger, clean energy innovation hub, housing a full-scale climatic center and a training program through Richland Community College. The governor was present at the Decatur site for the announcement of REV credits in September 2022. He came back in August 2023 for the groundbreaking ceremony. And seeing it to fruition, Pritzker came back again on Wednesday to cut the ribbon on the new 260,000-square-foot hub, a project that he called near and dear to his heart. "We're advancing commerce and opportunity because Illinois listened and we acted," Pritzker told those gathered in the facility's refurbished lobby. "We listened to our businesses and then we created some of the most competitive incentives in the country to meet their needs. We listened to communities who wanted to create jobs, and we brought everyone to the table to work together," he said. The three-tiered hub includes the production facility, which is set to begin making electric compressors in the coming weeks, an embedded training academy that will be operated by Richland in partnership with several state universities, and a climatic center for testing and simulations. Company President Richard Demirjian said that the hub is more than a building. "It's a bold commitment to the future of American manufacturing, clean energy research, and technology and workforce innovation," he said. As the first recipient of Illinois' REV incentive programs, we're proud to lead the reshoring of critical clean energy manufacturing and to be the home of the largest portfolio of Made in America electric compressor production facilities in the country. Illinois has been aggressive in targeting the EV industry over the past few years, and Pritzker specifically has made it a large part of his economic development and climate agendas, looking to add jobs while simultaneously working to meet the state's ambitious goal of having 1 million EVs on the road by 2030. With many EV companies looking to localize supply chains by building facilities in the United States, the state got into the targeted incentives game with REV, with REV. The program offers payroll tax credits for the jobs created and retained by a company's investment for up to 30 years. It also includes credits for the cost of employee training and exemptions on building materials and state utility taxes. It is tailored so companies big and small are eligible, a deliberate sliding scale that may attract more headline-grabbing large companies like Rivian, but also smaller battery and parts producers, such as TCCI, that can build out of the state's EV supply chain. So far, 20 REV agreements have been signed. Pritzker said that the state, with these targeted incentives, is building an entire ecosystem of growth and opportunity that will span generations. Part of that is building out of the workforce. The first-of-its-kind training academy at TCCI will allow Richland students to gain hands-on training in natural refrigerants, sustainable HVAC solutions, and clean energy systems, according to the company. Several two-year degree programs will be offered, and agreements have been reached with the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign and several other four-year universities to ensure seamless credit transitions. There will also be direct-to-work tracks for those not seeking a four-year degree. They will be trained to move into the sector, said Richland President Chris Valdez. Some of them may work here, some of them may transfer to our partners at NIU or the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, but it gives us great opportunity to be part of this machine that helps us move forward. Classes are set to begin this fall. The Illinois EPA also announced today that the Climatic Center would receive a matching $625,000 grant to support its efforts to advance energy efficiency and sustainability. This component of the hub is expected to open in spring 2026. When it does, it will become one of the most advanced thermal management and refrigeration testing centers in the country, Demirjian said. Pritzker said the project was revving up the engine of opportunity in Illinois. This is one of the first REV Illinois projects, and it's emblematic of a new chapter for the state of Illinois, Pritzker said. Illinois is turning the page to grow good jobs and a cleaner environment and stronger communities. And the photos here on page A3, one is a large picture with Governor J.B. Pritzker speaking to a crowd gathered Wednesday, April 23, 2025, to celebrate Clean Energy Innovation Hub Indicator at TCCI. And he's on a platform with several people in chairs behind him, and he's standing at a podium with the state seal in front. But behind him is a green placards there in like a diamond shape or hexagon shape with different green things on them, like different trees, and the logo of TCCI. And then there are several people in the audience looking at Governor Pritzker. And then a smaller picture of Governor J.B. Pritzker celebrating with others gathered on Wednesday, April 23, 2025, to celebrate Clean Energy Innovation Hub Indicator at TCCI Manufacturing. The photo on the front page, again, is the same thing, only a close-up with the large green, I don't know what you would call it, green design behind him, and several people in suits sitting behind him, and there looks like they're applauding. And that's all the pictures. Also on the front page, Congress. Durbin's departure bittersweet for some. Allies laud senator support for region. It's good to have a friend in Washington, for Central Illinois government and community leaders who felt they'd found an ally in U.S. Senator Dick Durbin during his 40-plus years representing the state in Congress. News that the 80-year-old will not seek re-election next year was somewhat bittersweet. I just wish we could change his mind, said John Dunn, a former state lawmaker from Decatur, who represented parts of the region in the Illinois House from 1975 to 1995. He's a steadfast Democrat, and he had his head screwed on straight. He's been wonderful and will be very, very difficult to replace. Excuse me. I really think he was just the best there was. He truly cares about what happens here, said Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, who said Durbin invited her to sit down for lunch once or twice a year, even as he gained more political power and seniority. Even though he's one of the most powerful people in America, he has still made time for Decatur, she said, noting that he had pushed for the community to receive federal support for commercial air service and a number of major transportation infrastructure projects. He just has an incredible grasp on our needs, Moore Wolf said. He understands that we don't run to him with little things, and that we're not asking for handouts. We are asking for help in building our own success story, and he's delivered. Shalith Hansbrough, Decatur Park District Commissioner, who came to Decatur in 1990, said she would miss Durbin for his responsiveness. If you have any issues, you can have a conversation with him. That has always been very important, said Hansbrough, confidential assistant to the director of the Illinois Department of Corrections. I appreciate having my questions answered, and I've been able to be certain after getting information from him, you know, you've received his truth. She said that her career, which includes time as a journalist and a run for city council, she could always count on Durbin. It's important that we have folks who represent us on a national level as well as local and regional, that we can reach out and touch, she said. Her hope is that whoever wins Durbin's seat after his retirement is someone like that, and she said that the time to start looking for that person is now. I just want to say congratulations to him, Hansbrough said. His career's been one of service to people, and he's been someone that you can access whenever you had an issue. I appreciate that. The Reverend Courtney Carson, a vice president of external relations at Richland Community College, described Durbin as a thoughtful leader and trailblazer who has worked for decades to help Illinoisans without forgetting those who have historically been marginalized. It didn't matter which side of the aisle you were on. He wanted to help the country move forward, Carson said, adding a personal member of his own. When I was young, I fainted in a press conference, and he caught me. He is always catching those of us who've stumbled. I love him, she said. Michael T. Kerrigan, a former Decatur mayor and Illinois AFL-CIO president from 2007 to 2019, described Durbin as an outstanding national leader for decades. Despite his rise to the position of number two Democrat in the country, he remains a humble, accessible individual who is always advocating for working people, said Kerrigan, now a member of the Illinois Commerce Commission, in a statement. We don't realize the tremendous personal sacrifice he and his family have had to make to carry out his responsibilities. Macon County Republican Chairman Bruce Pillsbury is the first to acknowledge that he and Senator Durbin don't agree about much in politics, but he also recognizes the ending of a remarkable career for the man from the other side of the political aisle. I've known him for quite a while, and he's done very well for himself, said Pillsbury. And so I thank the senator for his service and his tenure and wish him well. Richard Wadling, a retired EIU political science professor and member of the Coles County Democratic Party, said Durbin had a history of setting aside time to visit with downstate members of the party. He recalled one occasion when the senator attended an informal, potluck-style gathering at a house in rural Coles County and went out of his way to socialize with everyone. But then history marches on, and his political skills, unfortunately, weren't enough to respond to a more politically progressive and younger Democratic voting base, becoming increasingly unhappy with the party's aging leadership, he said in a statement. Senator Durbin certainly was fully aware of the changing political tide, and I'm sure he knew it was time to pass the torch. Dunn, the former lawmaker from Decatur, said he also understands that all politicians, however successful, have to know when it's time to take their final curtain call and make way for the next generation. Age is the problem, he said, and we have to respect that. So on this page, A4, there's a large picture of Mayor Julie Moore Wolf shaking hands with Senator Dick Durbin after a news conference discussing the passage of the Federal Aviation Administration Reauthorization Act of 2024 at the Decatur Airport on May 29th, 2024. And then there's another picture of Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, visiting the Macon County Law Enforcement Training Center in Decatur in July 2020. And he's at a podium, and in the background, it's kind of a out of focus. Everyone is standing there. Remember, this is 2020. Everyone is standing there wearing a mask. And also on the front page, Stratton first to declare Senate run. This is from Springfield. The race to succeed retiring Senator Dick Durbin is officially on. Less than 24 hours after Durbin announced he would not seek a sixth term, Illinois Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton declared her candidacy for a seat, placing her the first out of the gate in what's expected to be a crowded Democratic primary. Stratton, in a 2-minute campaign launch video, cast herself as an atypical candidate for atypical times, promising to throw out the old playbook while leaning into her record as Governor J.B. Pritzker's number two as a blueprint for what is possible. My journey to public service was inspired by serving as the primary caregiver for my mom when she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, Stratton said, adding that then-Governor Bruce Rauner was trying to cut health care for seniors like her. Which spurred her to run in a Democratic primary in 2016 against an incumbent who sided with the Republican governor on some key votes. Stratton, who has served alongside Pritzker since 2019, touted the administration's progressive legislative record, including increasing the minimum wage and enshrining abortion rights into the law, among others. "They like to talk. We've actually gotten things done," Stratton said. "Now I'm running for Senate because the only way out of this mess is to bring new energy, new voices, and new leaders who understand the lives of working people," she said. Stratton, a native of Chicago's South Side, is an attorney and restorative justice practitioner. In 1997, she founded JDS Mediation Services, a consulting group that provided negotiation and alternative resolution services. Later, she worked as a hearing officer and administrative law judge for the City of Chicago, managed the public safety portfolio for Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, and served as executive director of the Center for Public Safety at the University of Illinois Chicago. Less than a year into her first term as a state legislator, Pritzker picked Stratton to be his running mate. Since taking office, Pritzker has tasked Stratton with spearheading the administration's criminal justice system or justice reform agenda, which covers a wide umbrella of programs, but generally seeks to shift the state's justice system away from punitive approaches toward restorative practices. She also took a lead role in forming and negotiating Pritzker's Birth Equity Initiative, which seeks to address a maternal mortality gap in which black women are 3 times more likely to die during childbirth as white women. She also chairs various boards and commissions, including the Governor's Rural Affairs Council and Rivers of Illinois Coordinating Council and Illinois Council on Women and Girls. Pritzker heaped praise on Stratton in an unrelated press conference Thursday morning, calling her one of the most accomplished people that's ever held the job of Lieutenant Governor. He added that he thinks very highly of her and believes that the voters will too, but stopped short of endorsing her. Stratton is the first, but most certainly not the last candidate to jump into the race. Other possible candidates include U.S. Representative Robin Kelly, U.S. Representative Roger Krishnamurti, U.S. Representative Lauren Underwood, and Treasurer Mike Frerichs, among others. Political insiders have long pegged Krishnamurti as a likely candidate. The Schaumburg Democrat has more than $19 million in his campaign account and has been traveling the state over the past year. On Thursday, Krishnamurti was scheduled to make stops in Chicago, Logan County, and Urbana to highlight the impact of tariffs on small businesses and farmers. Kelly has represented portions of Chicago, the south suburbs, and downstate in Congress since 2013. She was scheduled to appear at a town hall on Thursday on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, which is in Republican Representative Mary Miller's district. Underwood, who has represented Chicago's western suburbs and exurbs in Congress since 2019, has long been viewed as a rising star in the party. Frerichs has been the state's chief investment officer since 2015. The Gifford native previously represented parts of Champaign and Vermilion counties in the state Senate. He confirmed his interest in a statement Wednesday, saying that he's considering how I can continue to best serve the people of Illinois. Among Republicans, U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, Republican of Peoria, is giving the race a look. Most Democratic political operatives view Stratton as one of the front-runners in an open primary alongside Krishnamoorthy. While Krishnamoorthy starts with a significant financial advantage, the flexibility of Stratton's current office frees up more time to campaign. She is also believed by many operatives to have the strongest relationship of any prospective candidate with Chicago's African-American community, perhaps the most important constituency in a Democratic primary. Stratton earlier this year founded her Level Up Federal Political Action Committee. She will have to sever ties with the PAC now that she is a candidate, but it can still raise and spend campaign dollars in support of her candidacy. A major wild card is whether Pritzker will endorse Stratton and perhaps, more importantly, financially back her candidacy. Stratton did pick up on the endorsement of Democratic Lieutenant Governors Association, which promised to commit seven figures to support her campaign. And on page A4 here, there's a large picture of her. Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton speaks during a 1908 Springfield race riot community commemoration ceremony on Wednesday, October 10th, 2024, in the Bunn Auditorium at HSHS, St. John's Children's Hospital in Springfield. And it's just a picture of her with a plain blue background. In more local and state news on page A2, state awards $30 million for downtown efforts. This is from Jacksonville. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday announced the awarding of more than two dozen state grants totaling $30 million for the revitalization of commercial corridors in downtown areas across the state, including $2 million for Bloomington. In total, $20 million was awarded through Rebuild Illinois Downtown and Main Streets, a program that provides grants for construction, repair, and modernization of public infrastructure. And $10 million was awarded through the Research in Illinois to Spur Economic Recovery Programs, which funds everything from land acquisition to affordable housing to streetscape work to historic building renovations. For too long, our state government treated these towns across the state as a relic of the past rather than a key part of our future, Pritzker said. Main streets and downtowns were losing their small businesses in part because they needed upgrades and improvements that local governments sometimes could not afford. And if our towns and cities cannot succeed, well, neither can the state of Illinois. Pritzker said the programs are part of a broader strategy to reverse decades of neglect and broken promises at the state level. These are funds that will go directly into the lifeblood of our local economies, Pritzker said. The city of Bloomington was awarded a nearly $2 million grant to help fund its long-range Downtown for Everyone streetscape plan, which aims to make the central business district more pedestrian-friendly. The McLean County Regional Planning Commission received $250,000 to fund a housing coordinator position for 2 years. The Village of Flanagan received $895,000, $361 to dredge the lagoon at the wastewater treatment facility. The City of East Moline received $2 million for efforts to transform 15th Street into an accessible, connected corridor that prioritizes space for pedestrians and businesses. The City of Nokomis received $330,000 for a downtown streetscape and beautification project that will add ADA sidewalks along West State Street from South Spruce Street to Pine Street. City of Pena received $1.25 million to develop a downtown lot into an outdoor event space with seating for service hookups for food trucks. The City of Effingham was awarded $373,500 for the purchase of a 2.6-acre site on Heritage Avenue to develop affordable workforce housing. Funding for the grants came from the Rebuild Illinois Capital Construction Program. And there's a photo here of downtown Bloomington from the intersection of North Main Street and East Monroe Street. And it's obviously an old downtown Main Street. Free sourdough class, May 8th in Clinton. The University of Illinois Extension, in partnership with the Warner Hospital Wellness Center, will host an Unlock the Secrets of Sourdough class from 10 to 11 a.m. Thursday, May 8th. Sourdough at the Heart of Bloomington-based Business. The free event will be held at the hospital at 418 West South Street, Clinton. This is the first in a monthly series presented by Illinois Extension in partnership with the Clinton Hospital, according to a news release. Participants will have the opportunity to gain a better understanding of the sourdough bread-making process and will leave with a list of resources to help continue their bread-making journey at home, the news release said. Those interested in attending are asked to pre-register at go.illinois.edu/Warner. That's capital WARNER. Again, go.illinois.edu/Warner or call 217-877-6042 by Monday, May 5th. Again, that's 217-877-6042. And do that before Monday, May 5th. Another local and state news sex offense with minor alleged. Mount Zion, a 23-year-old man is accused of cornering a 13-year-old girl in her bedroom and grabbing her by the inner thigh and telling her he was the closest thing to a dad for her, according to police. Ryan M. Lippold appeared in Macon County Circuit Court Monday and was arraigned on a charge of grooming. This is the offense of attempting to lure, solicit, or entice a child into committing a sex act. A sworn affidavit filed by the Mount Zion Police Department said Lippold's approach to the child was foiled by the girl's mother. She said Lippold had been visiting with her in the backyard on April 19th and asked to go inside to use the bathroom. The mom is quoted as telling police she went inside to find him after he'd been gone for a long time. Sergeant Matthew Travis, who signed the affidavit, described what happened next. The mom said her daughter's bedroom door was closed, and when she opened it, she saw Ryan sitting next to her daughter on the bed with his hand on her inner thigh. The mom said her daughter had tears in her eyes and said she had told Ryan to leave, but he wouldn't. The mom said Ryan pushed past her and ran out the front door. She said Ryan asked them not to call the police. Travis said the girl was later interviewed by police and told them about Lippold making the closest thing to a dad to her remark. He then showed her a video on his phone that he had shot of her in front of her house. The juvenile female said that scared her and she wanted to leave but felt like she couldn't. The juvenile female then said Ryan started touching her thigh and asking to hug her, Travis said. The juvenile female said she told him no and he came closer and kept gripping her thigh until her mom came in. Travis said Lippold later admitted to police that he'd been in the child's bedroom and touched her thigh, but said it was all a misunderstanding. He also said he had shot the video of the child in an effort to make her smile. The office of the Macon County State's Attorney had wanted to detain Lippold, but he was granted a pretrial release by Judge Lindsay Shelton. She set conditions that confine the defendant to his home, subject him to electronic monitoring, and ban him from the victim's home or coming with 500 feet of her. Lippold is due back in the court by April 30th for a preliminary hearing when he will enter a plea to the charge. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, April 25th, 2025. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.